From Austin Film Festival and Public Radio International, this is On Story, a look inside the creative process from today's leading writers and filmmakers. I'm your host, Barbara Morgan. On Story features discussions with artists who use the language of film and television to tell a story. All of our content is recorded live at the Austin Film Festival and Conference, at year-round events, and in up-to-the-minute interviews. On this special edition of the On Story podcast, Oren Uziel discusses how he leveraged winning the Austin Film Festival screenplay competition with his script Shimmer Lake to make a career change from being a lawyer to a successful screenwriter. He also shares his journey writing, developing, and eventually directing Shimmer Lake, which debuted June 9th on Netflix. Uziel's credits also include 22 Jump Street, Freaks of Nature, and the upcoming Cloverfield film, The God Particle.
Shimmer Lake was the first screenplay that I ever wrote, but it wasn't the first writing I had done. I had been a lawyer, a very unhappy lawyer, like, you know, sort of typical story, and I quit and started writing. And when I first started writing, I thought that everybody in the world, like, I wanted to be a screenwriter, I wanted to make movies, but I felt like almost I'd seen from TV and movies how everybody has a screenplay and no one wants to read it. So I thought maybe I would write a novel and get in the way of sort of Nick Hornby or Tom Perata had done it and become a novelist first, and then maybe adapt that novel into a screenplay and a movie. So I wrote a book, and I got a literary agent in New York. I was living in Brooklyn at the time. And sort of while I was in sort of wild disagreement with my agent about how to best sell this novel of mine and what it should be, I finally got the courage to just be more direct and do the thing that I wanted to do. So I wrote Shimmer Lake. And I think, you know, as a place to start of like why I chose that particular story, I just think I sort of grew up with the Coen brothers, and I grew up with loving kind of noir and old sort of Bogart movies and sort of John Dahl movies like Last Deduction, Red Rocks West. And I just thought, and I've always think this, like, you sort of write what you love to watch, you know, so create something that you would want to see as a movie. And it kind of started there. So that was the first thing I wrote. I just sort of started with this notion of, you know, a man with a bag of money that clearly he didn't earn, and being approached by a car, you know, with a passenger that he was expecting to talk to, but the end result of that meeting was not what he expected. And I sort of worked my way back from, well, how do we get to this situation? And the story just kind of grew out of that.
Hey, baby, it's me. Hey, I got it. When can you get away? Okay, Shimmer Lake. I'll wait for you. Okay.
Hey, babe.
Pop the trunk. Hey, what took you so long?
Zeke, he parked outside the house for hours. I had to wait.
That's my girl. I was thinking. Hey, I don't know about you, but I'm starving. What do you say we stop?
When I was writing it, I'm torn between saying I knew it was going to have a certain tone and just knowing that my writing has a certain tone. And for me, with some of those movies like Red Rock West or Simple Plan, and then the Coen brothers, you know, Fargo, or Miller's Crossing, I love the tone and the voice of all those the people that were creating those movies, but I also know that mine is just a little different. And so for me, it was, especially being the first thing I wrote, it was about finding that balance between comedy and tension and character and just making sure that you're not, you know, making a joke for a joke's sake and just making sure it's coming from, it's motivated by what the characters are going through and what they're experiencing. And I think that combined with the chronology of the movie, which, because everything moves backwards in time, so we sort of start a few days after the crime and then slowly work our way backwards. Those two things, like the tone and the structure, were enormous challenges and things I probably wouldn't attempt to do now that I know more about screenwriting and filmmaking. But there's a sort of naivete going into it that you could just do whatever you wanted. And I think, you know, in the beginning, those first drafts, it was always about finding the right balance. Once I had the screenplay and I had it in good enough shape that I trusted it was good, I had a friend who was a producer. He made independent movies in New York, and he read it and immediately wanted me to write something that he was working on, and I kind of got the sense, well, if he now believes in me as a writer, this must be a pretty good script. So not knowing, living in New York and not knowing anybody in Los Angeles, I looked up online what, you know, screenwriting competitions existed and how they worked, and then which ones seemed to be legitimate and which ones seemed to be possibly exploitative, and I avoided those, and I sent it to, I think, the Nickel, and I sent it to the Austin Film Festival screenwriting competition. I popped it in an envelope and I sent it off to Austin, and then I went back to work dealing with my agent on my novel and sort of expecting nothing. And then I started to get phone calls from Austin saying, hey, just so you know, your script is a semifinalist. Okay, that's cool. And hey, just so you know, your script is a finalist. You know, you should come down to Austin for the festival. I said, oh, okay, that sounds interesting. And then next thing I know, I'm in Austin, and it won an award there. And I'm down in Austin at the Driscoll meeting a lot of people. And I just remember one of the people that had expressed interest was a manager at Circle of Confusion. And I had actually made my contact with her by way of a woman I met at Driscoll who had had her script rejected by my manager. So that was my big in, is that she still had my manager's email address, and we were hanging out at the bar, and she said, well, she didn't like my script, but you seem like a nice guy, maybe she'll like yours. So she emailed her, and my manager responded, sure, send the script. And it wasn't until Thanksgiving, so about a month later, I got a phone call from the woman who would eventually become my manager. And I just remember talking to her, and I had been talking to a bunch of people, but she seemed just the most trustworthy, the most intelligent, the most thoughtful, had the right ideas about what the movie was and wasn't. And I signed with her over the phone. And then after that, I promptly got on a plane and went to LA, and I met with some agents, and I signed with an agent at Endeavor. And the script went out, and I remember it was my first experience with a script going out, and very seriously writing down, like getting on phone calls with my agent and manager and writing down what producers were passing, what producers were interested, and, you know, doing my best to research all of them and figure out what was going on, you know, not knowing that it's just a process that's going to sort of unfold on its own. And the end result was that Fox Atomic optioned the screenplay. And Fox Atomic was like a small division at Fox that, honestly, it was shut down and went out of business probably the day my check cleared. So it was very clear right off the bat that that version of the movie getting made was not going to happen. Occasionally, directors would hop on, and it would feel like we were close to getting the movie made, and I would meet with these guys, whether they were in New York or LA, and one thing would always sort of fall apart, you know, one thing after another. It was always, you know, very friendly. It just wasn't quite coming together. But in the meantime, I was writing more specs, getting more work, starting to get movies made, and time was passing. And the second time around, it was optioned at Sony, and I was starting to get, you know, learn more about the business, how it worked, and filmmaking, and how it worked. I'd been on sets, and I was gaining confidence and thinking, you know, I think I want to direct this movie. And sure enough, a year passed, and it wasn't going to be a big Sony movie just because of the way it is and what it is. And at that point, I had a solid enough standing, I guess, in the community or with my agency, which was WME at that point, that it was, you know, they sort of heard that I wanted to do it and direct it, and they sat me down with some financiers, and I said, let's do it. And from there, it was a sort of a typical indie process, but not a tortured one. And eventually we found our way to Ben Walker, who was someone that we just could all agree on. And after that, the movie came together very quickly. It went surprisingly well. The process of like stepping up to direct a movie, I think, as a screenwriter, always has, you know, one element that is probably not the healthiest, and then one element that is, I think, healthier. And it's sort of the first is the impulse of, you know, I'm tired of writing these screenplays, handing them off to directors, and watching them do X, you know, whether it's just a different choice that's not the choice you would make, or a different outcome that is disappointing. There's always that frustration of, well, you know, I wouldn't have done that, and I can do it better. And I don't think that's the healthiest, because it's kind of protecting something, or it's not as active. It's kind of like a passive reactionary impulse. But the other one is just as a screenwriter or as a lover of movies, like when you are creating this thing on the page, you know what it looks like in your head, and you know, you know, you are watching the movie unfold, and then you're putting it down on paper as best that you can express what that movie looked like to you. And I think there's a process when you're, you know, for me at least, when you're seeing your movies get made, and you're there, and you're able to see how the crew works and what the grips do and what the gaffers do and what the actors are doing and how they're relating to the director and how he's expressing what he wants, that sort of demystifies the whole process. And suddenly you say, well, I think I can do that. And for me, having been a lawyer, you know, there's no real direct connection, I don't think, between that and either screenwriting or even directing. But for me, there was always just, it gave me an enormous drive and ambition to work really hard and succeed, because I really hated that job. And I sort of always look at that as, well, no matter what obstacles you face as a writer, as a director, what frustrations, what sort of things that seem unfair, or, you know, what tortures you deal with, it's never as bad for me as the idea of going back to that office and sitting behind that desk and being a lawyer again. When I say I love those John Dahl movies or Simple Plan, and then I talk about the Coen brothers, I also loved John Hughes movies, and I also loved horror movies, and I'm a big fan of movies. And people like the Coen brothers, I mean, they're great and talented, and that's, I think, why I love them, you know, part of it. But the other part is that they don't seem to care what genre they're working in. They just are going to do a certain movie, and sometimes it's a comedy, sometimes it is a drama, sometimes it is a Western, sometimes it's, you know, a period gangster movie. So that to me was the dream, the ability to sort of just say, oh, this is a cool story, and I don't care that it happens to be a set in a space station and not funny. It's just, this is a cool story. I want to tell it.
Escorting our state champion quarterback from his meeting with our state champion parole officer. You mind hopping him back?
No, not at all. Hey, Ed.
What's going, Reed?
The back, huh? Never been back here.
I have.
I guess this, you don't wash it after the canine unit uses it. You guys smell that?
No. It was Westmoreland.
Yeah, Westmoreland.
That was a game that Coach Denton called Reed's goal line play, mm-hmm. on 4th-and-1, except we weren't on the goal line.
Yeah, it was an important play.
And I drop back, and I toss a pretty little daisy right in your waiting mitt.
It was perfect.
You were just so damn excited to finally get your hands on the football. You forgot we were at midfield. And that big linebacker.
Reggie Cutler.
Reggie Cutler.
That guy was big. He just laid you out mid-jiggle.
He was huge.
Shimmer Lake is about kind of just sort of the idea that you kind of can't outrun your past. And it's about small towns and flawed characters. And just kind of the idea that, to me, no matter how flawed someone might be, and no matter what mistakes they might make and what price they have to pay for that, you're still human and you're still understandable and you're still forgivable in some way, to me. I mean, I feel for all the characters in my movie, and it comes out June 9th on Netflix. It's a movie that, if you are a lover of fun kind of mystery crime movies, I think you're going to love it.
For more On Story, check your local PBS station for the television show of the same name. Every episode is a surprising and intimate look at filmmaking. Check your local listings, stream from PBS, or go to onstory.tv. On Story is brought to you in part by the Alice Kleberg Reynolds Foundation, a Texas family providing innovative funding since 1979. This project is supported in part by the Cultural Arts Division of the City of Austin Economic Development Department, the Texas Commission on the Arts, the U.S. Institute of Museum and Library Services, Texas Library and Archives Commission, and by a grant from Applied Materials. This program is also made possible in part by a grant from Humanities Texas, the state affiliate for the National Endowment for the Humanities. The show is produced by myself, Barbara Morgan. Our associate producers are Aaron Halligan, Colin Heyer, Sonia Onescu, and Maya Perez. Our production coordinator is Ava Mikes. Editing by Jamal Knox. Music by Brian Ramos. Production assistance, KUT 90.5 in Austin. Go to austinfilmfestival.com to find out more about the Austin Film Festival and Conference in October. Until next time, I'm Barbara Morgan, and this has been Austin Film Festival's On Story.